Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me. Today is the 13th, and it is Tuesday. It's about 6:25 in the morning, and we are waiting for the watch to sink, and I'm standing outside. It's about 52 degrees. The birds are singing. Man, it's going to be a great day. I think the high today is supposed to be 75. As I said, it's in the low 50s right now. I have on my long sleeve yellow shirt and my sort of turquoise green shorts and my turquoise green gloves. I hope they match. Okay, I didn't mean that. I don't typically dress to make myself match, but that's okay. But welcome to episode 48. And this episode, what I'd like to do is basically share some lessons I've learned from the marathon and Tigger. And those lessons have to do with what I learned about the marathon itself, as far as the training, and then what I learned about the marathon itself, and then the lessons that I've learned about life relative to the marathon. So we got a reasonable amount of stuff that I want to share with you today, but I think it's all helpful, and I've looked forward to doing this episode because of the fact that I did learn lessons at the marathon, which apply not only to racing or running the marathon, but which also apply to life. And so that's what we're going to be doing today, and I think our GPS, we have a green light, so let's go. One thing I wish I had done is change the battery in the unit. I put a fresh battery in when I ran the marathon. That was 4 hours. Then I've run three or four times since then. Five times maybe. So I could be running out of juice, but we should be alright. It's supposed to last 12 hours. But I found that it does not last that long, typically. I was looking at the Garmin's online, and evidently they charge up. And if you've got a Garmin, you can identify with that. But I think you charge those, and then they run for probably the same hours that perhaps this unit does with a single AA battery. Although I can't complain about the battery life. I just hate it because there's no indication when it's going to go out. So, will I have enough to get me through this run? I don't know. We're planning to run 6 miles today, Lord willing. I went 5 the last run, and we'll go 7, hopefully, on Thursday, and 8 on Saturday. Probably hold that a couple of weeks before I begin picking it up again for the long run as I've described in recent episodes. But it's great to have you along with me on again what is going to be a beautiful day. We've already hit 90 in the 80s several times, and as far as this forecast for the next several days, 70s, I think maybe 80 once, and totally dry, absolutely no rain, although we did have 1.25 inches of rain this past week. One evening we had storms, but no damage, although we were under a tornado watch again, but nothing came of it, thankfully. And so now we're in for a dry, moderately warm spell. The average right now is 67, and we're running a little above that every day for the next 7 days on the 7 day forecast. It's okay. Spring is here. I'm so glad. I look forward to a little bit of warmer weather so long. Incidentally, the mower's still acting up. So we mowed with it late yesterday, or early yesterday actually. My father and I mowed the yard, part of it, hoping to get it mowed before we have to take it back in, because it sputters and spits, but it'll mow. That's glad to be taken back in, and we tried everything from burning gas completely out of it and soaking it up with a rag, hoping to get every drop out of the tank, to cleaning out the filter again. None of that seems to be working, so must have gotten water in it somehow from the old gas I put in it. But the grass is coming in really nicely, coming in green now. I don't spend money on my grass. I probably should, but I don't. But when I mow it, I figure the dandelions and the weeds and the fescue all together, when you mow it, it all looks green. It has a nice coat, and it's hard to tell that it's full of weeds. I love a neighbor across the street. Has a regular lawn care person to come, and you can definitely tell the difference between his yard and mine, but mine looks pretty good when it's mowed, so I just don't invest in that, although certainly, if you do, that's a good thing to do. But I've just not done that. Actually, I invest in furniture. I invest in furniture. Cindy and I will be married 23 years, June 14th of this year. Let's see, got married in 87, so that's correct. And I've never bought, we bought a sectional for the living room slash den area of our house 3 years ago. That's the first major furniture purchase of any amount that I'd made. Now, I mean, I paid $400 for a pine type living room suit when we first got married, but I mean, serious furniture. That was the first one, and we just invested in a queen size bedroom suit. Got it at a bargain place here in Thomasville. It's Bassett Vaughn, solid oak, made in the US of A, which I'm proud to say. And so we had that delivered yesterday. Told Cindy, I said, we've been married 23 years. I guess it's about time. And then I proceeded to tell her happy birthday, happy anniversary, and Merry Christmas. That's pretty much what it is. Because I don't make big purchases like that too often. Anyway, she deserves it for putting up with me and all the junk that I'm involved with. So I was glad to be able to do that. I'm having trouble with my glasses. I don't think I'm hitting the mic. I tend to want to ride, so we had it delivered yesterday. And these two guys, as they were bringing it in, they noticed my Carolina cat laying nearby. And I said, oh, you're a Carolina fan? And I said, yeah, through and through. He said, well, you heard that in the Atlantic Coast Conference, three coaches lost their jobs. I said, well, I knew that Gaudio at Wake Forest, which is 20 miles from here, 22 miles maybe, said I knew he lost his job, although I think he's a great coach, and I can't understand that, because the guy they're looking to hire actually has a much worse record than Gaudio. He was like 82 and 40 or something like that the 3 years he was at Wake. But anyway, he lost his job, and then he told me Boston College, that guy was fired. And also the fellow at Clemson, whom I really liked, I think he was entertained by another school as well, but they fired him. So, and then he proceeded to tell me he was a Duke fan, and I said, you know what? I said, I really liked you, and he told me that. I thought you were a nice guy. We laughed about it. And then he told me, he said, well, you know, Roy Williams should have lost his job because he couldn't win the NIT. And I said, well, you know, he's only won it twice, national championship in the last 5 years. I said, we can't win it every year. And the guy with him was a Carolina fan, so we had a lot of fun with that. But anyway, we got the thing, the bed put together last night. Very, very sturdy. And I believe it'll be comfortable. I'm looking forward to giving you a report. See if that helps my sleep situation. I think the older you get, the less you sleep. At least in my case, that seems to be true. Even though I try, I'm awake more at night. I wake up more times, that type of thing. But we're going to see if this new bed will help my rest. I think maybe it will. Perhaps it will. Although the old bed was not a problem, I think having that extra, however wide that is, I think it's like a half a foot wider than standard or full. See if that makes a difference. Now, you probably slept on a king before. You may have one. We didn't want one quite that big. We have a good size master bedroom and it would fit. And you could actually get around it. But queen seemed to be the best for us. And I mean, I'm not that big a person. Incidentally, my weight is basically holding where it was. Yesterday I weighed 137 flat. And I think the lightest that I've been in the last couple years is 134. Something like that. So my weight runs from 134 to 137. Now, I'm on the high end of what I typically would be, but I generally don't stray within 4 pounds at the most. 3 with regularity, but 4 at the most. Okay, hope things are going well with you. It's great to have you along for this run today. Whether you're running or whether you're biking or riding in your car, sitting in the office, or whatever, I'm glad to have you along with me. Incidentally, I have started to listen to podcasts much more in the car, especially when I'm out riding doing things I need to do, making hospital calls, whatever. I find that I can listen to a lot more. If I stick to just listening to the ones I do while I'm running, well, I mean, at this point, if I was hitting on all the cylinders, I wouldn't be running but 3 hours a week. And that just doesn't give me enough time. But I found I actually enjoy listening to those shows while I'm riding in the car. Occasionally I will take the Walkman with me, and if I'm in a place where I can listen, waiting in a doctor's office for instance, I'll catch up on some shows there. Some of the ones I really like, and I'll talk about one of them in a little bit, but How Stuff Works, Stuff You Should Know, that is a great show. And funny, really, really funny. Chuck and, can't think of the other guy's name. But I think if you go to howstuffworks.com, you can subscribe. It's also, of course, on iTunes. But last time I listened, they described the history of McDonald's. And did you know McDonald's actually, Ray Kroc was not the founder. It actually were two brothers named McDonald. And Ray Kroc was their milkshake machine salesman, and he eventually bought them out and changed the strategy of the way the company was put together and the way they achieved or acquired franchises. And so McDonald's Incorporated, or the official title that that corporation holds, he is the founder of that. But Ray Kroc is not the founder of McDonald's. I thought was pretty interesting. They talked about where do we get the fillet of fish from, about McNuggets. They talked about the things that are happening with McDonald's, the lawsuits, and then they talked about the good things, Ronald McDonald House. But they'll talk about on that those shows rather something like that. And next time it may be, what is nuclear proliferation? Next time it may be, what is a Ponzi scheme? Or as Chuck says, a Ponzi scheme. Just anything, you name it. And you can learn quite a bit. So I listened to that one. listen to Run Digger Run. I was listening to Run from the Reaper, but he's not recording right now. I also listened to the Devoted Runner, Steven, which I've plugged before. And it's another new show that I've picked up that I'll share with you later in the podcast. Okay, let me share with you some lessons that I have learned about marathon training now. Granted, I'm not a pro. Granted, I'm not one who is working from a scientific thesis or whatever. I'm just your average Joe who has just finished his 4 marathon in around 4 hours. 4:05:31. But I can tell you what I learned and what I think will be helpful. Some of it you can take. Some of it, don't worry about it. But let me share with you lessons from the marathon about marathon training. And I think you'll find it interesting, perhaps entertaining, and hopefully helpful. And I'll go through these. There's several I'm going to mention. And I'll just mention each one, and then I'll make brief comments. Because I got a lot I want to cover in this show. And I've already rambled too long talking about everything from McDonald's to furniture. But anyhow, for the long run, pay attention to the time that you should run, your goal pace. If you remember, when I got seriously hurt with my knees to begin with, and then my hip, I would go out for the long run, 20, 21 miles. I may have done the 21 miler. I think I paid attention to pace on it. But the others, a 19 and a 20, I got out and ran how I feel. Based on what my goal was, assuming I was not injured and everything would have worked out, I was really thinking I would have run around a 3:50. So my goal pace, if I could have held 9 minutes, that would have put me under 4 hours, which I would have been pleased with. That means I should have run the long runs 10:30 to 11 minutes a mile. Now, when I got hurt, that was not poking. But before I was hurt, that was poking. I mean, I was running my long runs at less, let's see. I think I ran one at 8:39, for instance, for 20 miles, something like that. That's too fast. So I'm telling you from experience, with me, the problem was not building up the speed, the time. I did that correctly, but I did not pay attention to the speed. So that was a problem. And you need to be aware of that as you train for the marathon. That's number one. Second, at the first sign of trouble, rest. If you know your knees are bothering you, or you've got an Achilles issue, or plantar fasciitis, or you name it. I had runner's knee and then a hip injury that I still cannot fully identify. But first sign of that, stop. And if you don't know how discouraging it can get, and I want to discourage you as far as discouraging you from running. For instance, if you're training for a marathon right now, and you're having issues, and you think you're going to run through it, go back and listen to, I want to say it was episode 41, The Walking Wounded, where I talk about my knee problems. Folks, I'll be honest, that's as discouraged as I've ever been. And the only reason I was like that was because of my stupidity, my bullheadedness to not do what I needed to do leading up to that point. But when the knees gave me such a fit, I did rest. I think I took a solid week off and then found the knee straps and they helped me. So first sign of trouble is you're training for the marathon, rest. Depending on where you are in the training, probably no matter where you are in the training, rest will not hurt you, and in the long run, no pun intended, I think it's probably going to help you. I think one of the things leading up to, well, I'll talk about taper in a minute, but you can't overtrain. First sign of trouble, rest. Thirdly, taper properly. 3 weeks. Some sources I've read have actually said 3.5 to 4, and I'm beginning to think maybe 4 weeks is okay. If your body runs 20, 21, 22 miles, 4 weeks out from the marathon, and then you begin the taper, I could be wrong, but I don't think you're going to have issues with being able to complete the distance, particularly if you'll include the speed work, which I'll mention in a minute. But you do need to taper. My taper was fairly dramatic because of the injuries I had sustained. I could not taper. I mean, if you remember, man, last week in the marathon, week before that, I think my longest run was 6 miles, 2 weeks out, even though I had run a 21, a 20, and a 19. But I was forced to do that. My plan called for running more than I did leading up to the taper. But I would say, taper 3 weeks in the last 2 weeks, I wouldn't shut it down, but you want to be pretty close. You got to give your body time to heal. The ligaments, the tendons, the muscle soreness, you got to give your body the ability to heal from that. And so you want to taper minimum of 3 weeks, 3.5 to 4 would be good as well. Fourthly, hydrate on the days leading up to the marathon. Drink lots of water. If you want to throw in some Gatorade, that's fine. But do that for 3 or 4 days leading up to the race until your urine is a pale, very pale yellow or even clear. And if you can pee that morning of the race and your urine is clear, you're hydrated. I think one mistake I made, and this is a part of this point, when I was standing there in the bathroom waiting in line, got to talking to a fellow who had run, I think he said 3 marathons, this was his 4th. And he said, I said, you got any advice you can give me? He said, yeah, drink early, drink often. Well, I did that. And if you remember, I think it was 8 mile, I had to stop. I had to stop and pee. Now, I want to be careful here because you do need a drink. And dehydration is a concern. But I think if you drink days leading up to it, use your head the day of the race, you don't have to be running with a bloated stomach on race day. So, should you drink that day? Absolutely. Should you just drown yourself drinking? I don't think so, unless it is excessively hot, which for us it was getting warm, but I probably could have cut out, I know, 1, maybe 2 of the water stops, especially early, and I would have been okay. But so that was number 4, hydrate days before. Number 5, to finish well, you really need to have 2 or 3 long runs of 18 miles under your belt. 21 worked well for me, and I'll probably do a 22 if I'm healthy next time I train for the marathon. But I know, based on the way I got along with the race, absolutely you cannot run 1 without the long runs, I don't think. So that's just a no-brainer. Long runs are absolutely critical. Again, 18 a minimum, and no more than 22 at the most. If you've worked up to that properly, you're not injured, and you know your body is ready to handle that. And again, remember that pace, 1.5 to 2 minutes slower than your goal pace. Speed work, number 6, speed work helps. If I'm healthy, it sure helps me. It sure helped me at the half, where I ran 142.29, and it will help you. But again, you got to be healthy, and the only way you can do that is if you're not running your long runs too quickly. You really need to hold back on those. I can't emphasize that enough. Maybe it's because that's what happened to me. That's why I was injured. It was speed, it wasn't distance. But you can do speed work. For your first marathon, I would recommend just 1 day a week. That's probably all I'll do anyway. But for your second, you might do more, second or third, maybe a couple days a week. But 1 day a week, tempo. I'm not sure intervals are necessary, although they certainly won't hurt. But tempo runs are great, so keep that in mind as well. Number 7, recreate everything during training that you plan to do on the day of the race. For instance, are you going to eat jelly beans? Are you using a certain brand of gel? Do you have other things you eat? Like for me, the Raymond cakes. I did all of that in training. several times leading up to the marathon, and I knew my stomach would tolerate it, and I knew that my stomach was good with that. So one thing I did during the race, which I don't regret, but made me sick, which I did not do in training. Of course, I had not run, you know, 26 miles in training either, but was drinking Gatorade early in the race. I didn't feel the need for that. And later in the race, I don't know what happened, but last two or three times I got water or stopped at a water stop. I felt like, well, Gatorade would help me. Even though I had taken exactly what I had planned for jelly beans and gels, things of that nature. And as I mentioned a minute ago, I had drunk plenty of water. But the Gatorade at that time in the race, and it was warm, Gatorade was not cold. It just made me very, not very, but noticeably sick to my stomach. And at the end of the race especially, I could have thrown up. I know Charlotte, my former secretary, was there. Ran into her and her husband at 16 and a half miles. Went through their neighborhood. Spoke to them. And then she decided, well, I'm going to go watch him finish. So she showed up and she was there. She sent some of the pictures of the blog. She said one girl, as soon as she got done, she stopped and immediately threw up. That could have been a half marathon, but still, don't drink or eat things during the race that you've not eaten on your long runs during training. I'm just telling you, that's not smart, and a little bit of nausea could be an issue, or it could be worse than that as far as upset stomach, things of that nature, which you definitely don't need when you're out running a race. Speaking of which, use only the things that you're going to use. Number 7 was recreate everything you've done in training. You know, taking water, shoes, the way you're going to dress if you possibly can. Make sure everything's good to go. But number 8 is what basically I've already thrown into that. Use the gels and everything else during training that you plan to do during the marathon. And for me, personally, I don't believe I'd wait to depend on them having what they're advertising and what I need. For instance, I wanted caffeine jelly beans at the end, and I'd already eaten the ones I had by mistake. And 21 mile mark, I wanted caffeine, and they had nothing in the whole race with caffeine. Well, if I had planned better and paid closer attention, I think I may mark the things with caffeine more clearly so that I can stagger those better next time. Because when you're in a race like that and you reach that point, it's sort of hard to pick out, okay, this is caffeine, this isn't, because sometimes it's so hard to read anyway. So practice everything you're going to do on race day, including the things you're going to be consuming. And number 9, for the race itself, I would say plan your race and race your plan. What do I mean by that? What I mean is you need to have an idea of what you're going to do when you step up to the starting line. I knew in my mind that based on the injury, I wanted to average 9:30 the first several miles and see how I felt and increase it little by little. Had I been healthy, I would have started out with maybe a 9:10 mile anyway, and then gradually increase that to hopefully below 9 minutes, which, again, if injury had not been a factor, I feel very confident I would have been able to have done that. But that was my plan. It couldn't work, so I went to plan B, which I was very, very pleased with. Don't just show up thinking, okay, I'm going to run how I feel and whatever. No, you need to know the what's going on when you step to the line. That leads me to another topic, and that's lessons from the marathon about the marathon itself. What I just shared with you were things leading up to the race. Now I'd like to share with you some things that I learned about the race itself. We'll be back in a minute to do that. You're listening to episode 48 of the 20 Minute Runner podcast.
If I could travel back in time tonight, I wouldn't waste a second more. I know that's quite an ironic thing to say when you're contemplating time travel. If I could travel back in time tonight, I know exactly what I'd do. I would be standing on your doorstep, baby, singing these words, shouting them to you, saying, stay with me. Oh, baby, won't you stay with me? A list and check it twice and just forget the Santa Claus. I would be flying back across the years and standing at your door, because I'm moving a little faster than the speed of light as Albert raises one eyebrow. I would be knocking on your door again, baby, singing these words, shouting them out, saying, stay. Baby, won't you stay with me? Because I'm begging, please. Oh, baby, won't you stay with me? Every once in a while, your heart gets wondering how your life might have been if you'd have made a left instead of taking that right. Well, go ahead and wander. It ain't no sin now. Stay. Travel back in time tonight, I know exactly where I'd go. Driving across the years down dusty roads that take me to your door, because it's taking forever just to realize exactly what I should have said. But in a moment I'm back at your door, singing the words that echo in my head. Stay.
Okay, I want to talk a minute about lessons that I learned from the marathon about the marathon itself. Number one, know the course. If you remember, we had a mix-up, as I mentioned a couple times, with the literal winner of the race was actually signed up for the half, got off course. Well, they disqualified him, and I think rightfully so, even though he may have been led astray by one of the vehicles. I'm still not clear about that, but he didn't sign up for the marathon. It's unfortunate that he got turned around, but you know, that's just life, and you got to play by the rules, at least most of the time. And this was a case where he graciously accepted, yeah, okay, I did the wrong thing, but know the course. I would have thought he would have been familiar with the course, especially in contention to win. So if it's a race out of town, at the least, I would plan to go online and probably Google Earth. They may even have that at the race's website. And from there, you can see the course. If you're close enough, like I am here, at least for this particular marathon, I rode the course twice, maybe three times in the weeks leading up to the race. So I knew in my mind, I was very, very clear about how the race went. Know the course. Secondly, don't overhydrate the first half, which I spoke about a minute ago, about hydrating days ahead. Well, during the race itself, don't overhydrate during the first half unless you want to spend some time in the Port-a-John. And I've already talked about that. Number three, walk for water stops if possible when you're drinking. And I'm talking about water Gatorade right here. If you're drinking something else during the race, you're probably going to be in trouble. But walk for water stops if possible when you're drinking. I found that helped me. I'd already decided that I was not going to run the full thing. And I had several times during the prep for the race, I had stopped and, I had actually done that during training. So, keep a good pace, but keep moving. Unless you come to a dead stop, it's probably not going to hurt you very much. In 45 seconds, even a minute of walking, several times during the race to take nourishment and water, personally, I don't think it's going to hurt you. If you're, you know, unless you're just a stellar athlete who wins races everywhere. But if you're just wanting to finish and run a good race and feel pretty good, hopefully at the end, I would do that and work on that during your training, stopping at times when you take water, that type of thing. Number four, walk when taking gels, beans, or other supplements. That applies too. During those times, you also want to stop and walk. Don't dead stop, but stop and continue moving. Take your gel, take your beans, whatever it is you're eating. Same rules apply there. Number five, start more conservatively than maybe you're thinking. Just like I said a moment ago, my original plan for the race, race A, but start more conservatively, push it during the middle miles, and plan to finish strong. And for me, fortunately, that's exactly what I was able to do. I ran the second half 5 minutes faster than the first, 2 hours and 18 seconds. That's a pretty good half marathon time period, at least to me. And I ran 2:05 and some change the first half. So I covered 5 minutes more quickly the second half. Chip technology let me know that. And I started out conservatively because of the injuries. I did pick it up after the heel at mile 14. And even though I didn't feel like it, I know that I was maintaining a 9:10, 9:11 pace the last 4 or 5 miles. Even though I was really in a lot of pain, we were able to do that. So start it conservative, push it in the middle, and then based on how you feel after 21 or something like that, let's say go for it. You can do it. Number six, run realistically. In other words, you know how the training's gone. Marathon's too long, it's too difficult to push yourself. If you know your training was hampered by injury or a layoff, lack of training, stuff like that. Like me, the injuries caused me to run more slowly than I wanted. About 20 to 25 seconds a mile overall. But I still felt like I ran a very good race. But I was realistic. I knew I was not as primed as I had planned to be with the training. Number seven, use a pacing device to keep you from going out too fast or too slowly. Marathon is too far to be guessing at your pace the first couple miles before you hit a mile marker or whatever. You need to know that ahead of time if possible. I realized years ago there was no way to know that. But now there is. I use a very simple Timex watch with a pod on it, and it will give me the average training pace that I'm running during that run. That was something I only discovered 2 to 3 weeks before the race, which I wish I'd realized earlier. I think I talked about that in a past episode, because that would have helped me to not run too quickly during long runs. But I thought, well, I'll run how I feel. But no, you can't. But on race day, if you know that you need to be averaging 9:15, for instance, how are you really going to know that unless you've got some assistance. Invest in a GPS device, and some of them can get quite expensive, Garmin's for instance, which I still think eventually I'll get one. But I gave $120 for what I use, and while it won't sync with the computer, it gives me average splits, maximum speed, average pace, distance, all that. I just have to do it the old-fashioned way right now, which I don't mind. I kind of like the idea of taking a pencil and a piece of paper and working on certain things. But plan to take a device with you if you can. Use it on your training runs and during the race. Let that help you to keep a pace that you know you're capable of. Also, it'll help you to run fast enough. So use a pacing device to keep you at a good, correct pace. Number 7, trust the crowd to help you. I remember after a 21-mile water stop, there was a lady and her son, looked like he's probably 10. He was standing out in the street next to the curb with a water hose and a sprayer spraying. And I stopped and literally stopped and said, "Hey man, hit me." He sprayed me all over with that thing, and I had to hold my hand over the recorder because I didn't want to get it wet. Thought I might have ruined the mic, but it was okay. But the crowd support was awesome. And just people telling you you look good, even though when you know you look like crap. People telling you that, telling you you can make it, you're gonna get through this, looking strong, whatever. You let that crowd support move you. And I usually would glance their way or just lift my hand and let them know I acknowledge their encouragement. But that goes a long ways. So I would encourage you to be aware of that. Know that you can finish. Countless other people have, and so will you. You're going to finish that thing because you've trained properly and you've used some good sense. Maybe applied even some of the things that I've mentioned here today. And you're going to finish it. So realize that. You'll get through it. And number 10, that was number 9. Number 10, don't compare the marathon to the half. I never really did. But some people do. They think, "Oh wow, I ran a great half marathon. Just double that and I got a marathon, right?" No, doesn't work that way. Beyond 20 or 21 miles, when you're running at as comfortable a pace as you can maintain, it's a different ballgame entirely. But I don't say that to be discouraging. If you've run one, I'm preaching to the choir here. If you haven't, I just want to let you know that you cannot compare the half to the full. And I love the half marathon. As I mentioned in the past, I think the half might be my favorite distance. Although I have to admit, I look forward to running another marathon. I really do. But they're not the same. You don't have the issues with fatigue. And for the half, the training, too, is so much less. Even though you might be running a long run of 14, 15 miles, that's a lot different from 21, 22. And your body doesn't get beat up as badly. Although it does require a lot more than 10K, for instance, but they're not the same. But if you approach it wisely, and I tend to say a little bit conservatively, especially if you're a newbie to the distance like me, I think that you'll do fine. You'll do great. You'll finish strongly. Okay. Very quickly, let me just share some things that I've learned from life. Talked about things I learned about marathon training, and then I've talked about things I learned from the marathon. Let me share quickly with you some lessons I've learned from life. Number 1, you can do virtually anything if you plan properly and invest the time to do it right. If you can do a marathon, guarantee you can do a lot of other things. Number 2, something that's impossible now will not necessarily be impossible tomorrow or next week or 6 months from now. Just because you can't do it now, and I've had people to say, "Well, I can't even run around the block." Well, no. If you're sitting on your butt all day and you're 50 pounds overweight, I guess not. But I tell people all the time, listen, you could do it. If you get up and start, I've told several people this. I said, if you get up and start, I've got a plan I'll share with you, and I guarantee you, in 6 months, you'll be running an hour. Oh, I can never do that. Yes, you can. And it's that way in life. So the second thing, realize that just because you can't do something today doesn't mean it won't be possible later if you have proper training. Number three, lessons from life that I learned from the marathon. Goals. Goals are exceptionally important. They're important for a couple reasons. They motivate us. They give us a carrot on a stick out there to move towards. And also, they give us confidence. I mean, now that I've run one marathon, I know I can run another one. Now, I never say yes, totally, definitely to anything, because you don't know what tomorrow holds, but Lord willing, I know I can run another one. And I know if I'm healthy, training goes well, knees are, the hip are not an issue, I know that I'll break 4 hours. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And so goals are what motivate us. They give us confidence. That's that way in life, whether it's work, family, our faith. Goals are critically important. And you need to have goals in your life. You need to occasionally write down things that you want to achieve or do, or dreams that you have. Marathon's taught me anything's possible if we set goals and do the other things I've mentioned. Number four, if you listen to the naysayers, you're doomed to failure in anything you attempt in life. Naysayers will tell you you can't do it. Naysayers will say it's impossible. Naysayers will say you don't have that talent, that ability. You don't have the resources to do whatever. That's what the naysayers say. But I want to tell you that if you listen to the naysayers, you'll never accomplish anything in life. So don't listen to them. Number five, most people who say you can't do or shouldn't do something in life, a particular goal you've got, most people who say you can't or shouldn't do something have never attempted it themselves. They can sit around and tell you 20 reasons why that can't be done and 10 reasons why you can't do it. But I guarantee you they've never attempted it themselves. Or if they have, they didn't properly plan and prepare. So remember, those people telling you can't do something with your life, whatever it is you're thinking about, remember they've probably never attempted it themselves. So how do they know, right? They don't know. That's the point. That was number five. Number six, doing something you're passionate about guarantees success. If you're not passionate about something, then you're doomed to fail from the start. Don't waste your time. If you don't want to run a marathon, that's not in your gut, don't do it. There's no point in it. And you don't have to. By the way, I'm talking about life goals here. But if you're passionate about running a 10K, or if you're passionate about doing something at work, or you're passionate about getting your family to a certain point in life, I mean, on and on it goes. Do the things you're passionate about. If you don't have that fire in your gut, there's no point in doing it just because somebody thinks you should, or just because you think it's you should. If you don't feel passionate about it, forget it. It's not going to work. So, those are the things that I've learned about life in the marathon. Hope all that's been helpful. All right. We are 4.6 miles into this. I'll bring you back in near the end. We'll close it out. I apologize. I've gone a little bit longer today, but I knew there's a lot of stuff I want to cram in, but we'll wrap it up here in just a very few minutes. As we're going up this final hill, I thought of one more lesson that I've learned about life from the marathon, and that is, pain does not last forever. This life, whatever it is painful you're dealing with, that will probably go away eventually. Don't know when, but I believe it will. And if it doesn't go away in this life, then as a Christian, I know that I have a guarantee of no pain after this life. But anyway, pain will not last forever. So, morning. So those are the lessons that I learned from the marathon and the various things that I mentioned. Okay, we're going up the last hill. Pretty close to stopping. Your emails are so encouraging. I've received more emails. Well, actually more on the marathon episode than any I've done. Second to that was probably the one on my brother. Back in, oh, I don't know, 16, 17, something like that. Brother of mine. That's a good episode, I think. Because I'm lifting up my brother and Sammy and what he's meant to me. So if you're wondering who Sammy is, and you've only caught the last few episodes, go back and listen to Brother of Mine. Again, it's in the teens, I believe, but you'll find it. And listen to that, and it'll give you some perspective on why I keep talking about him from time to time. But your emails are great. I appreciate it. As I mentioned last episode, Coach Jeff Smith from Australia has been corresponding some, and he sent this clip along, which I really appreciate.
Well, hey there, Roland. It's Jeff Smith calling from Brisbane, Australia, right down the bottom end of the world from where you are, my friend. And just thought I'd send you some audio just to say hi and say thank you ever so much for the tremendous rap that you gave me on your show the other day. And, man, I really did appreciate that. And I was truly sincere when I said that, you know, you relayed the spirit of the marathon to us, the listeners, as you crossed the line for your first marathon. And having run 24 marathons myself now, I still get as excited today listening to people, you know, cross the line for their first one as I did when I crossed the line for my very first one all those years ago. So keep up the great work. Absolutely loving the podcast and listening to you run around the Piedmont region. So keep up the great work, and I'll be in touch from time to time, and I would maybe love to get you onto my show one day and do a bit of an interview and get you know, perspective on running a marathon from someone fresh from running their very first one. So keep up the great work, Roland. Take care, and I'll be in touch real soon. Bye for now.
Also in episode 6, I would go to his website, which is listed at the blog, powerfit.something.au. Anyway, it's listed under the links of interest. Go to Coach Jeff's website, subscribe to the podcast. One thing he said in episode 6 of the running podcast, he does one on running, triathlon, and just, I think, fitness. One thing he said was, a lot of podcasters, we think if we don't have something absolutely credible or helpful to say, that maybe the podcast is no good, and there are actually people who have stopped podcasting because of that. And he brings up a good point, which I appreciate. We're in this to entertain, to encourage. We don't claim to be know-it-alls. I certainly don't. But if I can help you pass the time, that's why I do the podcast. And so, Jeff, thanks for that reminder. It really helped me keep my purpose. If I feel like laughing or cutting up, that's not a problem, because mainly I'm here to help you pass the time and to let you know that, hey, I'm just like you. Stopping. I'm just like you, and I'm sharing this journey with you. But he shares a lot in his podcast, which you might find interesting. If you're new to the show, please drop me a line and say hi. Go to the blog address mentioned at the end of the program. Click on the email me button. Just let me know you're there. Feel free to send me an MP3 like you just heard from Coach Jeff. I'll be glad to play that on the podcast and welcome your comments by email. Go to iTunes, look up 20 Minute Runner, find the information there. I'd appreciate you going there if you would. If you like the show, give me some comments and stars. If you don't like it, well, I started to say don't go there. If you don't like it, say that too. It's okay. But that's at iTunes. I'd appreciate that. Subscribe to it if you would. The blog I mentioned, there are new pictures there. I got some professional pictures from the marathon, which I did post under my race pictures down near the left, and a couple with this particular blog, number 48, from the marathon, me at 21 miles and then me rounding the corner, literally hitting Carol's hand. She yelled and stuck her hand out, and I stuck mine out as well. So, morning! So those pictures are there. Also, I'm on Twitter. 20 Minute Runner is my handle. I'll be glad to have you follow me, and I will follow you. Okay, we ran 6.218 miles in 59 minutes and 54 seconds. Oh, let's see what our average time was, average pace. Average pace was 9:38, so we're picking it up a little bit every day, and the knees are absolutely non-issue. The hip, I can still feel it a bit, but it doesn't seem to bother me nearly as bad. So, covered over 6 miles, first time since the marathon, and 9:38 pace. I'm very, very happy for that. All right, I'll get out of here. I know you've been with me a long time today, and I appreciate that. Try not to keep them this long. I like to keep them around 45, 50 minutes, but I think this one might be a little longer than that. But it's been a good one. It sort of ties a bow around the marathon, gets all that out of the way. I'm not sure what we'll talk about next week, but I know the marathon will not be an issue. But I look forward to doing this one, and I'm glad to have you along. Let me hear from you. Send me an email. Tweet me. Go to iTunes and do that for me if you would. Check out the blog. Let me know how things are going. Just let me know you're listening and who you are. And I would really appreciate that. You're the reason I do this. I enjoy doing it, but it's so great to have your feedback. Have a great week, everybody. And hope it's a good one for you. Hope your running's going well. And I hope whatever lessons we've been able to share today, I hope there's something that's been a benefit to you. And I'm just another runner on this journey. I'm not telling you anything you might not know, but sharing with you what I've learned, and that's part of why I think we all are a part of the running community. So I hope you can take something today and use it. And I look forward to having you with me next time. Have a good week. See ya. And as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. Bye-bye. That wraps up another episode. I'm glad to have you with me. Check out my blog at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, the20runner.blogspot.com. From the blog, you can send me an email. You can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher or feed reader. Take the monthly survey, or simply look at photographs of recent races and peruse the past episodes of the podcast, including being able to listen to those episodes if you'd like. Remember, all of the music used in this episode can be found at the blog. All music is used under Creative Commons license. It's been great having you with me this week, and I look forward to seeing you again in 7 or 8 days. Until then, I hope your running's going well, and as always, thanks for sharing some of the road with me. My name is Roland, and I am the 20-Minute Runner.